But you know, last summer, I went round and round, because we had a lot of people that were giving us money to run a service center, you know. And I called over here to La Paz a lot of times asking them for these little, like, union identification cards, you know, I am a blank, what was that word they were using? I am a
supportive member.
Supportive member. And I really needed those cards.
Well, are these the ones with the pictures on?
No.
But Caesar wants, this is the other thing he brought up.
This is a supportive membership card saying, look, I support the union. I make it $5 a month.
An unpaid member.
Supportive member, no, like a pledge member, but a supportive member. Instead of using pledge, use the word supportive.
Right.
And supposedly they were going to make them out and send them to us, you know.
Yeah.
We never got them, but it would have been nice if we could have got them.
Well,
Caesar just told me this morning that, on this, that they have a large number of cards left over from the cards that they made for the workers, you know. And they took the picture and so forth. And a couple of those people that that made those pictures and know how to operate that machine and all of that are in the Los Angeles boycott. Liz Hernandez, and I've forgotten who the other one is. Danny. Huh? Well, anyway, what Caesar wants to do is to, probably with your help, decide on a name. Maybe it should be supportive member. And then have pictures taken of all the people. And beginning, he said, right down there where Mrs. Ibarra is. He wants to begin this program down at the border and have them run through that apparatus, you know, and get the pictures taken and put on this kind of a card with the little card holder and so forth, like the workers have them, like some of you.
But I think it really works good, because, you know, we know that it works. I mean, how many, you'd be surprised how many people, I mean, really want to have some kind of identification, even though they're never
been.
Now, we got the teachers who got into the field with a machine, like there was a camera, you know, taking pictures of the workers, right in the field.
Yeah.
They're not
running with too much luck.
People doesn't want to take pictures.
Well, you're afraid the mafia is
going to
get them if they get all those pictures.
But that's very important, that thing for the supportive membership.
Yeah.
You know, because I had a lot of students in Davis, you know. They wanted to give $1.50, $2.
But you know what happened? You know what's going to happen? You know,
but they wanted something back.
About that picture thing, you know. People are going to expect that it's never going to happen. Yeah. You know?
Well, then probably better not talk about it until it starts to happen.
You know what? No, even if it happens, Fred, just think how long it's going to take from, if it's in San Isidro, yeah. How long is it going to take for it to get...
Well, then you better not. You better wait until I get to Salinas.
Very simple, you know. Take the card.
You know, we can't even.
Supportive member. Here you go.
We can't even provide membership cards for our members yet.
Let me just tell you something. Now, remember when they brought out the first authorization cards that people were signing?
Yeah.
There was nothing we could give them back, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. But when they brought out the new card, everybody wanted to sign it, you know, because everybody wanted to get in, because there was something that was going to take back.
That's right.
Not even with a picture. One of the easy things could be done and fast, and I'm pretty sure that would get all the data be fast. Easier like those, strike cards.
That's what's brought about this idea, is because people are coming to the office saying, can I have one of those little cards? My friend has one.
Well, then, when we get together with Caesar, I bring that up because that could be done so much faster than this other thing that he's talking about with the picture and everything.
That's what I'm doing now.
Huh? Okay. Then the last thing, getting back to the personal visit pitch, the last thing we want to talk about in the pitch to get their help is actual full-time workers. Actual full-time volunteer workers that could come in on the same basis that all of you are in.
Are you talking about the pre-visit now or the home
visit? I'm talking about both. See, because I was talking about, at the last thing that we want to mention at the time we talked to this guy, see, we're in a personal visit, we're at the personal visit stage right now, and we're telling that guy about the things that we're going, that we want to talk about when we come back to his house meeting, the house meeting that Joe is going to hold. And each of these points that I've been bringing out, we just mentioned to Joe, so he can mention some of them to his friends when they want to know why they should come over to his house. You know, just, see? And the last thing that we want to talk to him about is if he knows of anybody himself who might be the kind of a person that would be willing to come in and work as a full-time volunteer for the union. If he does, well, you'd like to get his name right then. And Caesar's going to talk to you about this full-time volunteer thing, as I mentioned last night.
Yeah, we would like him to talk about it because, you know, I'm pretty sure that some of us here, I mean, we have looked at the people, you know, we already put the eyes on something, you know. But if we would bring it out right away, I mean, they would bring out the problem of money, you know.
I know. Okay, well, now do you have any questions? That is essentially the pitch that I would give at a knowing, you know, what I know or what I don't know about the situation that you'll be in there with your first visit, your personal visit. Any questions about anything that I've been saying on that before we go to the other group, the service center group, and talk about theirs, because theirs is a different approach than the one I just gave. Not entirely different, but it's different.
Would we say this about the service center, even if we're not the service center, we're putting in a plug for the other for the other person that works?
Well, yeah, sure. In other words, you have somebody else working in the service center, and you're holding, and they're holding their house meetings, and you're holding house meetings among the workers, and you're telling them about the service center, sure.
Right. And then the service center pitches about the boycott, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's all the same thing.
Well, it's a little bit different.
It's all the same thing as far as I'm concerned.
Well, but I mean...
talking about the union, and you end up talking about service, and you end up telling them to boycott Galvin and then...
Well, there's many things that I said that are the same, but there's a little different approach that I think is valuable to use for the purple people that are just involved with the service center. And that is this. So now we'll get over to the service center approach, because we've called them and told them about this brand new organization. You've heard about the Poor People's Union. You've heard about that one. And we've already talked to him on the phone, but we haven't gone into it at all. We just told him we want to come over and tell you about this new organization that is being considered by the union, and we want to find out what you think of it. We want to get your reaction to it. So now we're over to Joe's house again, and only this time it's an older Joe, and he's 65, and it's the old timers that we're concentrating on. So we start out pretty much the same way. You know, I told you over the phone, Joe, that I want to talk to you about this new program that we don't know whether we're going to call it the Poor People's Union or whatever. We're just using that title for the time being.
Called Josephine.
Huh? Josephine, okay. Josephine, you remember I told you over the phone? And before I get into that, though, the idea goes back quite a few years. It was actually started by Cesar Chavez in the old days when he used to work full-time with an organization that you may have heard of, which is called CSO. And in those days, the CSO was working with poor people, both young, middle-aged, and older poor people all over California. If you're talking to Spanish-speaking people, well, it was mainly among the Spanish-speaking people, but it was not exclusively Spanish-speaking. It was open to anybody that lived there in the barrio. And over the years, the CSO and Caesar and others were involved in getting some very, very valuable laws passed. The first one that the CSO was able to get passed in Sacramento was the pensiones, the pensions for older non-citizens. See this?
Social Security, is that right?
No, it was the old age pension, the state old age pension. They don't have it anymore, but they had it for many years.
Wasn't Dolores the one that got that?
Well, she was in the CSO. She was the lobbyist in Sacramento, and Caesar was the director, working out of the Los Angeles operation. But that was all handled by the CSO. The union didn't have anything to do with that. It was all passed. The law was finally passed after many years of fighting for that law. We fought for 8 years to get that law passed. We got voters registered all over California, over 500,000 voters, mainly people who lived in the barrios, were registered by CSO deputy registrars. That had to be done in order to build up the voting power all throughout the state, in the assembly districts, in the senatorial districts, to get those politicians to vote for the pensiones bill. And a man that you've been hearing about lately, Phil Burton, was worked on by Dolores until he finally practically drove him up the walls, and he agreed to carry the ball all through the House, and he guided that legislation all the way through. And you've heard about what he's doing back in Washington lately. He's cleaning up the mess back there. So that was the first bill that the CSO was able to get passed. The second was something that was of great importance to the farm workers. That was the state disability insurance for farm workers. They were never eligible for that disability insurance before. And Dolores lobbying up in Sacramento, and Caesar guiding the thing from L.A. because he was still director of the CSO. And that organization not only got legislation at that time, but later, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, but it also got many, many other community services for the people by being able to bring the power of the vote, which they were developing all over the state, to bear on city councils, on boards of supervisors, on health departments and welfare departments, on all the state and on Washington and so forth, in bringing about pavement of dirt roads out in the barrios and traffic signals, recreation playgrounds, doing away in some areas with at least the worst of police brutality against the poor people that lived out in the areas. And it was all because the CSO had developed the power of numbers. They had a large membership all throughout California and the power of the vote. Those were the two main weapons that were used. Now, finally, after a great deal had been done in the way of improvements in the neighborhoods and getting these laws passed, there was one large group of people that the CSO had not done very much for, except with the disability, state disability insurance, and that was the farm workers. And so Caesar began a campaign as the director of the CSO to try and force the leadership of the CSO to go in whole hog into the campaign to work on behalf of the farm workers. I showed you yesterday, this is a story that appeared in La Opinion in June of 1961, telling about how the CSO had won the pensiones legislation up in Sacramento. That meant, I've forgotten, millions and millions and billions of dollars. I think something like $25 or $30 million that was won by the CSO to give the pension to the old timers. Down at the bottom, Caesar got this out when he was the director of the CSO. Down at the bottom here, it tells about, it says, we have fixed up one injustice, but we still have this other big injustice, and that's the farm workers. He tells all about it, and this was in 61 while he was still the director of the CSO. Well, the following year, as you know, when he couldn't convince the people, the leaders of the CSO, to go whole hog into the problems and work with the farm workers, he resigned. And he, with his wife and 8 kids and so forth, came up into Delano and began the organization of the farm workers. Well, you all, except for those of you that weren't here yesterday, and you know the story of Caesar and Dolores and Manuel and the organization of the farm workers, and that should be told. You know, you don't have to go in. Well, let me just tell it very quickly. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but this is the way, more or less, you can just go over the top of it. That in 1962, he resigned because of the organization he was working with and making a good salary, by the way. He just resigned with hardly any money and 8 kids, and Elena moved up into Delano and began organizing. And Dolores shortly started doing the same thing up in Stockton. Manuel came in, he started doing it full time. And then over the years, they were able to build a strong foundation within the CSO, and then remind you, and then you're proud to remember the big grape strike and the big struggle that went on with that, and the big long march up to Sacramento. Just hit these things fast as you're going through, and then how they had to go out and they boycott because they couldn't win out in the fields because the growers had too much power over the judges. They got the injunctions against them, they brought in the illegals and so forth. Well, you won't be, well, you, that's okay, you won't, you'll be talking to legals for the most part, I think. And then how finally we won those contracts through the boycott for the most part, and then eventually the growers teamed up with the Teamsters and they ripped off the contracts that we had over 60,000 workers temporarily. Only now we're winning them back. In other words, whether we're talking to the farm workers themselves or to the old timers, we want to go over the idea of hope. We aren't losing. We don't come on like a bunch of losers. We're coming on like winners, because we are winning. As I've mentioned before, we're winning. And now, so that now that we are winning, pretty quick we're going to get the contracts back again. And so now Caesar wants to reopen the whole program that got started many years ago, and that he and Dolores and Manuel Silver, or Dolores anyway, were involved in, working among the poor people, beginning with the older people, the old timers, with you, Josefina, and with your friends. And in order to get this started, we need to meet with some of your friends and explain it to them so that they in turn can tell others about it and tell others about some of the goodies that I'm going to mention to you. And we also have the service center, which you may have heard of. But from now on, that is going to be open to people just like you and to all of your older friends and so forth that need this kind of help. And if the people want it, during the next 2 months, we're going to be helping the people build a poor people's union among the old timers to begin with, among the older people. And so what do you think? Do you think this is this something that you might be interested in? And then go ahead and tell them about the goodies there at the service center that some of them may know about and a lot of them don't know about, in order to arouse their greater interest. Of course, for the most part, probably the old people are going to be the easiest ones to sell on having an organization for themselves, you know, to work on their problems. Also, they'll also be very happy to know that there's an organization in the community that has an office already set up to begin to work on their day-to-day living problems. So that's what I want to do, Josefina, is to come to your house as soon as possible and meet with some of your friends so that we can begin to spread the word and find out what they think. In the other areas where this is going on, up in Sacramento, in Fresno, and Selma, and Sanger, in Delano, and then, you know, Wasco, and Bakersfield, and Hanford, and out in Lamont, Narvin, and so forth, the older people are already getting together. They're already bringing out the problems, and some of the problems that they'd like to get some help on. You mentioned some of these broad problems the problems we mentioned before, and health care, the abuse that many of them experience when they go to the local hospitals and when they need dental care, when they need glasses. They don't have any, very often they don't have any way of getting around, and at the service center we've been providing transportation by getting volunteers to take them around if they don't have cars of their own. And we've been helping on cases of eviction where some of the old timers have been evicted from their houses. And, you know, give a few examples like this of the broader issues in addition to the individual cases that you have that you take care of at the service center. And some of them have been gypped by dishonest door-to-door salesmen, and, you know, this all the sort of stuff that you told me there. We were talking about this earlier. So, what do you think, Josefina? How do you think your friends are going to... do you think that your friends would like a program like this? What do you think? You know, and then sort of try to get Josefina to come out with some of her own problems and some of her own opinions about about this kind of an organization. And then nail the thing down. So when will you invite a few people over so I can come and talk to them? The sooner the better, because we're on a campaign right now. In order to have a successful campaign, we've got to keep it going faster and faster and faster and get the word out to as many, many people as we possibly can. And so how about day after tomorrow? Because we, you know, say it in the afternoon or at night. Would you invite some people over so I can come and talk to them about this? Give them a couple of, a couple of alternative times.
The best place I think to get those, when they're not a real human, that's Chicanas anyway. Would be right after the Messiah.
At night, huh?
Yeah, while they're coming out of church. They're about the only ones that go anywhere.
Of course, a lot of the old, well, I guess most of the old timers are free a lot of the time, except for the ones that are working. So that you folks in the service centers can have a lot more flexibility and leeway in when you want to hold your house meetings. It doesn't just have to be at night, although, as Elena said, that's one very good time. And as we mentioned last night, we want to be sure and mention again. And, you know, if the person is married, we know whether Josefina is married or not, and we'd like, and be sure and have your husband there, because we want to talk to him, too. This is a family thing. We don't want to split, you know, between the wife and the husband on it.
Fred, it's not very clear in my mind, I mean, really. Are we saying that we want to organize, I mean, all people in general, or?
No, just the poor old people.
When do you know, I mean, what?
If they're getting, certainly if they're getting, well, not certainly, but anywhere between 60 and 65 and over.
Lots of retired, 62.
Yeah, I know.
And the disabled retired.
I know.
Fred, see, my question is, I mean, let's say, for example, if we got a family, I mean, we're both, I mean, receiving the whole pension or social security or whatever, you know.
Who are not, did you say?
Who are receiving.
Oh, who are receiving, yeah.
You know, and at the 60 and it's a couple, you know. Mm-hmm. So you organize those?
Yeah.
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 See, because the reason that I'm asking this question is because the service center, when they were asking for the 10 people, they were looking only for single people who live by themselves, you know.
Rooming house and such.
See, that's right.
Pablo, what happened? Sister said he didn't want you to survey 10 people who were living with their daughters-in-law or sons-in-law and being taken care of.
Already.
Living with a family that loved them and took care of them and had a nice home of their own and had the mother-in-law in the home and the grandmother in the home. They wanted people who...
That's the issue.
Sure, because you can talk to both of them, you know. Yeah. And I thought it, because I have, the impression, you know, that you were really looking for people who live by
themselves. Because they have more problems for the survey.
Yeah. Well, and they would be more interested in the organization.
Right.
They'd have greater needs if they're out on their own and having to make it without the help of their sons and daughters.
Family. No, you know.
Now you got old people, you know, like you got old people, you know, who owns a property, you know, and that they rented, they got a house, you know, behind the house in the front, you know, and they getting rent, you know.
Yeah.
We don't make any we don't exclude people from that. I mean,
any poor old person.
Yeah, because very often those people are pretty poor, even though they're property poor. Some of them, you know, they
have to pay taxes.
Yeah, but who
they have to pay the taxes.
Who makes that determination?
Well, I think we put that down. We've got to put down some stuff to take
right,
up with
yeah.
The man up here on the mountain. You know?
There's also a lot of older people like around the Sacramento area. I see them there. They're in there in the park, and they're alcoholics.
Yeah, well, I don't think we ought to. I think we ought to stay away from them. Yeah. Not that they don't need help. I'm, you know what I mean.
Now you're asking, what are you doing around the park, Linda?
Yeah. Right.
Becoming an alcoholic.
All these days, we're gonna find them with this.
We got to experience their problem ourselves.
Oh man.
Well, that brings up a question, you know, like this meaning. I think that it'd be good if we went for some time and then have a little break at some point. You know, and that way everybody wakes up for a little while.
Oh, you mean you're all asleep?
No, I'm thinking of yourself, man.
Let me just make one more point, and then we'll wake up.
If you want to miss any part of the meeting, you have to go look for a bathroom.
There's no bathroom here, Fred. I had to go all the way to the kitchen.
No, there's a bathroom here.
That's why I went to the kitchen. There's
no
water.
There's no water.
They don't work.
That's why I had to go all the way to the kitchen right now.
No.
But if somebody could go ask somebody in these trailers if they'd let us use their bathroom, we don't have to go so far.
Can't this run?
No, no water.
Yes, it can be. I reported it to Tom. The water was turned on because there's a leak in the pipe. So let it leak.
And so what did Tom say? Oh, I see. That was his answer, huh?
Just go behind the trailer and close your eyes. Nobody will see you.
Well,
there's a
lamp. Okay. Let me just make one more point in order to finish this section. The last thing that I want to tell Josefina is that during the next 2 months, we're going to be talking with more and more older people to find out what they think about having an organization that would take care of their problems and that they could work in to take care of their problems. Now, this isn't the last thing, I'm sorry. It's the last thing about the goodies. But at the end of that time, if the people really want to have their own organization, a poor people's organization, then we're going to be calling all of them together and forming that organization made up of all the people that we've been talking to during this 2 months period that I'm talking about. Then we'll call them all together and they can form the organization. That will not be an independent organization. That will be like the one of the arms of the organizer or of the service center person. Just as the area-wide organizations out in the cities are the strong right arms of the organizers out there. And you, as service center people, will be in charge of those organizational meetings. There won't be any election of officers and setting up a whole raft of committees so that you'll be tied up day and night meeting with this committee, that committee, the other committee. You will undoubtedly, we'll get into that later, but probably one committee will be enough, and that'll sort of be a planning committee to plan the meetings and so forth. But the people have got to understand from the very beginning that this is the case, that they can't grab the ball and run with it and do whatever they want to, whether it's according to the policy of the union or against it, in violation of the policy of the union, in conflict with the policy. Everything that is done within this organization must be in conformity with the bylaws and constitution of the union and with the overall policy of the union as you know, made by the board of directors of the union.
So Fred, what we're offering them is the farm worker service center, even though they're not farm workers?
And the clinics.
Well, there's no clinics up there, but what we're offering them is
our services.
You're offering your services, and there will have to be an expansion of your present services, or else you'll never be able to, you know, begin to meet the expanded number of problems.
Because I'm the only one.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's why we've got to double, triple, or even quadruple the staff in certain areas.
Oh, well, I have somebody else that helps me, but with no pay.
Yeah, well.
She's hustling money all the time for herself.
Well, this is something that Caesar's going to be talking to you about.
I hope, Fred, that the clinic, that Elena would make, you know, make it, not clear, but I mean, would make it, you know, available to all the areas, you know, because that's an organized tool, you know, for us, I mean, which we could use, I mean, if we are not going to offer, you know, the clinics and the services, then we cannot say that we offer all the services, you know, that we have available, because that's the truth.
That's right.
And obviously this thing could be...
Well, he says the two have got to go hand in hand. You yourselves have got to try and find staff, extra staff that can be put on full time.
No, you see...
Caesar said that the clinic was going to be... Are you saying that they should let them into the clinic? You're saying that they should let the older people into the clinic.
Well, it's
and
not
just the farm workers.
Right.
Well, at the last meeting we had when we came, Caesar said that not just the clinics, but the service centers and everything else that we have for the farm workers was going to be available
credit
for
union,
the senior citizens. Credit union,
change.
Everything.
Yeah.
Daycare.
What did they change?
Yeah, because he said he hoped we'd have a clinic back in San Diego too someday. We need one.
Right.
Did
he change that?
Then they,
They were open.
What did he change?
He changed his mind?
On what?
No, nothing's changed. This has not been...
It's not
we have one doctor.
No, but that was
you see...
And one doctor
has to... That was brought up, I mean, but it was never opened.
When this union's built.
No, Caesar said he committed himself. He committed the credit union and the legal department.
Open those people this time.
Caesar can make all the commitments he wants at prison. You know, he's going to open up the clinics. But we know it can't be done. First of all, we don't have the staff in the clinics. We don't have the personnel they have.
No, wait a minute. We cannot speak for the administration. That's an administration problem, you know. I mean, we're not going to solve the problems. We got our own problems. When problems come out in the field, you know, then we're responsible for that, you know, to a certain extent, you know. But when it comes, I mean, they don't have no doctors, they don't have no staff. That's an administration problem.
And that's
if we have no money, that's an administration problem. It's up to us, I mean, to pick up what we can, you know, there, and make every effort to get money and get it there, and everything that we could recruit and everything they need. But I'm
okay, put this down as something to take up with Caesar. We don't want to go out and start telling people that they're going to get all these things if they aren't going to get them.
At the last meeting we were at, Caesar said, he put it on the blackboard and he said, these are all the services that we're going to offer these people, the same services that the farm workers have. The only thing is that he probably forgot that we just don't have the staff.
Well, he hasn't forgotten now.
And
he knows
that.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
see,
we don't have
of the reasons that I'm concerned is because, see, we're talking about, you know, we know there's only one doctor out there, and there are not enough staff, you know. I understand that. You see, like these people, I mean, who are receiving either a state medical card or a federal card, you know, a medical card, you know, mm-hmm. you know, that money, instead of going, you know, to the county hospital or going to the private doctors, I mean, we could, you know, direct these people to the clinic, you know, mm-hmm. instead of these people paying $20 or $30 every visit, they're paying to direct this guy, they could pay to our clinic.
Yeah.
No.
Because we only I don't know how to put
but
it.
But I think once the ball gets rolling, and I think once Caesar sees that there are people going over there,
yeah.
well then for sure he's gonna have to move his cookies and get another doctor in there or more staff.
Yeah, but see, the ball doesn't get rolling until he's got some tools to organize.
But
you know, and that's one of the first things that there is, you know, the clinic. You take old people, you know, you do. Use what you got, you know.
Yeah.
But if you can't use it, how the hell are you going to organize, you know?
Yeah.
Not just by talking.
And then you also have the fact that the only clinic that's big enough to, you know, service enough people is Delano. Sanger can't.
That's one, the only one.
We don't even have one up north. We're looking for...
You have one over in Salinas now, don't you? Don't they have one over in Salinas?
Yeah.
Plenty?
Yes.
Yeah.
And down in the border, isn't that? All right, the last... The
he wants to recruit you a doctor?
Warren Bond.
That, you know what that's going
to do?
Okay.
Phil Reed.
I got it right here.
All right, can we just finish this one up? Just as you're leaving, you can mention to Josefina that maybe, probably she might, in addition to having this house meeting that she's already agreed to have, that she might like to come down to the office and learn how to help. Yeah, right. And or she might like to help on the Gallo campaign, you know, whatever it is you're doing in the Gallo campaign. Or she might like to do some door-to-door work.
Or she might like to answer the phone.
Or answer the phone, right.
I'm getting
right, she might like to give a little money.
Yeah.
So you start right in, with even though it's only one person, you start working on them a little bit right then. Well, you work on them some more at the house meeting, see, because that naturally that person is going to be the host or the hostess at the house meeting. So while you're working on the rest of them, you're working on Josefina or Joe or whatever to get them involved, more involved in the union. Okay, I guess everybody wants to go to the toilet.
Well, we have to make an appointment. Everybody run to the nearest trailer as you can find.
Have you all got your outlines ready to go on the paper?
No.
I think you ought to make a little outline right now about what you're going to say.
Personal business level?
Yeah, the personal business.
We call it that sheet. We call the first blank.
Are we going to have to do this at
all? Huh?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, he called me up yesterday. I did my outline for my phone call in Spanish, and when I got up there, it was in English, so I really got thrown.
Not only on the tape, but before a video.
I passed.
You're going to be before the cameras.
I passed.
Tomorrow.
Boomerang.
Tomorrow, yeah. I'm going to have a flu. Then I'm up for all day.
Well, then the next day.
No, really, I can't.
You can do personal visits over there, Sherry.
I really want to try.
If you can't do it here before your buddies here, why, you certainly can't
That's
do it out
exactly
there.
Why I can't do it, because they're my buddies. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to laugh.
You should be here last night when we were calling each other.
Oh, yeah. It's really easy.
I'm going to say something wrong.
It's okay.
We're going to put the videotape and the film and all that. Show it to
Well, one of the things Caesar wants to do is to pick out the best ones and have everybody here to applaud from over to see.
Oh, I know now I'm going
to
do it.
Well, if you aren't the best ones, what do you want?
Don't waste the film.
Well, that's one of the things you learn by seeing yourself on video. I guess we don't.
Don't forget to put your makeup on tomorrow. And your weight.
What to talk to you about?
You know, last year when we lost the contracts and the Teamsters took over.
Yeah, that was bad. Really, really bad.
We've been trying to figure a way, how can we get back into those fields and how can we organize those people that took our jobs out there? Because we know only with their help can we throw those Teamsters out of there. So, one of the ways we can do this is through, you know, well, other things we can do besides, you know, just chase the Teamsters out. We can get them to vote. We can get those people to sign revocation cards. Get them to come to our weekly meetings like you do.
Yeah, Ben, but you know, a lot of people are afraid, Ben.
I know, but you work on those ranches. See, you work out to Radovich.
You
talk to some of those people to come in. See what we can do. See, most of the people don't know what the union's been all about. You know, with the labor history that farm workers have been trying to organize over the years. You know, then when Caesar came along and he started organizing the union and how he did it, you know, the sacrifice. And you've been in the union before and you know the sacrifice that it takes. And we can do this, we can take the fear away from those people by having house meetings. House meetings, you know, when when you can get a few people together, and we can talk to them about it. We can go through the labor history, go through the union organizing. You know, how many people really know that they only live to be 49 years? You know, there's so many things that we can tell them at these meetings.
Then, yeah, but what are you talking about? House meetings where?
Let's see, have a person like yourself, you can get a few people together.
Well, I don't know, Ben, you know.
Well, you know,
I'm with the union, but, you know, it's...
I know, but see, it takes... You yourself, have we got to you, say we can need Teamsters on the field. See, you have to start. It's with you where it starts. I'm with the union, but it's going to be where you, the people, have to start. See, at those meetings, we can bring up not only that we need money, we need them. They have to help us. See, by getting the Teamsters revocations card signed, well, then we can present that in the court of law, and we can get them not to pay Teamsters dues. See, not only one person, but it takes more people to do this. You might be afraid to come to the meetings, but if a lot of people come to the meetings, a lot of people sign cards, you've got power with a lot by yourself, and there's nobody. So, when can you get a meeting together for me?
I don't know, Ben. You know, that's rough, man. It's really hard.
See, you can bring
really hard, you know.
You tell them to bring their wives, you know, too. You know, bring your wives. Your wives can be very strong. You know, how about today's Monday? How about Friday? Think you can get at least just, you know, two or three, four? Just, we don't need a big crowd now. Just a small group.
Well, you want people from the rancher, or
yeah, mostly people from that ranch. We'd like to do it on a ranch basis. See, we can go from after we get through. Yeah, you know, you get four or five here, then we get them. We talk to them about all these things, and they'll get other house meetings. So we can go from one; it just builds up to where we can get the whole group. Then we start having meetings on that ranch. See, Teamsters, they haven't had meetings in a year. The contractor, they haven't had one meeting. Oh, an organizer comes once in a while. They take your union dues. They don't give you nothing.
So yeah, they're taking money all the time, man.
You know,
all the time, all
out.
The time. Look, if you come to the meeting, you gonna do all the talking? I don't have to talk.
No, I'll be presenting these things, and then you know if you've got something to say, you know, when the question periods come up, you can help out a little bit.
Well,
why not?
Can I call you back?
No, I think you can. Why don't you just pick out a date? How about Friday?
Well, right
now, if you can't Friday, if you got something to do, you know, but you can't let this slide, because see, you've got to make up your mind whether you really want to help. Now, you know what the teams, what the farm workers have done for the workers. You know, we've gotten disability insurance for people. We have a service center down there. We have a clinic.
I know what they've done. I know.
And we can put this, we can give the services, the service center to these people now. We can give the clinic to the people. Now, look, we just opened the Aguilante Village. There's 58 retired farm workers.
Yeah.
When do you think you can hold one for me?
Well, when do you want to come Friday?
About 7 o'clock.
Well, okay. I'll try to get you some guys. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Well.
What do you think?
Well, he didn't even invite his wife. Wasn't his wife?
Yes, he did.
No, he did.
Yeah, he made sure that he got
the worker.
Last night. Well, what did he start right off with?
He started right off with the idea of the meeting and do you want to come? But then he sort of worked back to the history and what the union, what the service union was about.
Yeah, and, but he started right off with by mentioning what?
The team.
Yeah. Which I thought was good. As he came out, you know, they got a lot of grievances. But did you notice he used the term house meeting? And I think it's better not to use that term. Just explain what you mean rather than just use the word house meeting. Well, he said, what do you mean house meeting, you know? And that's what a lot of them will say, because they don't know what house meeting. But if you say, if you could just invite a few of your friends over without using the term house meeting, better. And you didn't, you didn't, uh, you,
if I had a checklist, you've got most of the points across. But you didn't hit the service center quite hard enough. You mentioned about the Akwaeana village and the services, but you didn't pinpoint what the two or three of them were that he might be interested in. And the fact that, you know, that it's open to you too now, it's open to everybody now, provided they're interested in farm workers. And I thought if you make it clear that you'd like to have him invite a few people over so that you can come and talk to him, so I can come and talk, because he had to ask him, now, am I going to have to talk or are you going to do the talking, you know? And it's true, a lot of them are afraid for that reason, unless you make it very clear that they aren't going to have to do the talking. And I thought that last point was very good, where he began to hedge and you got deaf all of a sudden, you couldn't hear his resistance and hear his and so forth. And where he said, you have to make up your own mind whether you really want to help or not, because that really puts him right on the spot. I thought that was very good.
Very good.
We better go eat.
Would somebody carry back a couple of chairs?
How many?
We need at least two more chairs. She doesn't. The theory doesn't have to be. And if we're going to use chairs,
You can organize me, I'll bring the chairs back.
Who's ready to be next?
Back there, David.
Who wants to? Who volunteers? You're going to call on somebody. And who do you want to call on?
Anyone.
Who wants to be called on? Who's home? Today you're home, right?
I'm home.
Okay. First visit. Do we have two chairs missing? Oh, we have one. Now we have two. Here comes Libby.
Yay, Libby.
This is a personal visit.
Come in.
Hello, Camille. How are you?
How are you doing?
Okay.
Come and sit down.
Thank you.
I'm very glad to hear that you called me. It's always nice to get a visit from you.
Yes, really.
Would you like anything? Can I get you a cup of tea? A cup of tea.
Fine. Fine. That'd be nice.
I mean, all I have is a little hot plate. So why don't we ready in the morning?
All right. I called you over the phone yesterday and told you I wanted to, like, talk to you about this new idea that, the United Farm Workers have in mind in terms of relating more to not solely the United Farm Worker effort to, like, organize so it could receive more political recognition, political power in its efforts to, like, to have a better life for themselves, but also, like, you know, Cesar Chavez has always been concerned about the poor people in the society, and he has come up with the idea now that the farm workers are more or less, like, you know, into the political arena and struggling for power, for recognition. It is also
wanting now to like include, you know, the rest of the poor people in society. So I came here to explain to you what his ideas are and to see if we could like get some kind of a meeting with other people who would benefit from this particular program or union that he wants to like see.
I'm not too sure if I understand. Okay. He wants, I mean, farm workers are poor people, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
So he's already been working with poor
right.
people.
And he also recognizes that farm workers aren't the only people that are poor. That he also understands and knows that the senior citizens in this community need help in meeting some of their needs, such as the health situation they confront themselves with. In that,
well, it certainly is true. We do get sick a lot often.
Really. And being that he recognizes that these people also need attention, health services being met.
You know, that's really true.
Really?
Nobody pays any attention to us. We go walking down the street and we have problems. My social security check, it just doesn't come that very much, you know, and I have to pay the rent and I have to pay the light and I have to pay the gas. You know, I don't even have enough money to have a stove or a, you know.
Right. Well, because senior citizens have these particular problems that people in general have kind of ignored and just isolated themselves away from the senior citizens. The United Farm Workers are now trying to like extend its services, to the elderly people, and we would like to see what kind of opinions and feelings that these people have, you know, what concerns they have, and see, you know, what their feelings are. Are towards formulating some kind of a union for themselves, in hopes that they can like someday be part, an intricate part of this society. We would like to. This is the reason why I'm coming to you, so I can like ask you to help me and conduct a meeting. With several people that perhaps you might know, and explain to them what our objectives are, or what our ideas.
Do you want me to have a meeting? I'm not too sure.
Help me, conduct one. Bring together a group of people who might have interest.
Well, I don't know anybody. I mean, a meeting. What? I'm sure. I'm always glad to help you and. And of course, if there's anything we can do for people my age, well, there's a lot to do, but...
Right. Well, I'm sure you have people, friends, within the neighborhood that have perhaps come to you and complained along with you as to, like, the problems they're confronted with. And I'm sure that we could, like, you could go to them and say, well, look, there's this one person from the United Farm Workers who has shown concern and would like to come in and talk with them to see what
I don't really quite understand. I mean, you wanna talk about the problems we have? I mean, what can you do if your checks are too small, or what can you do if we don't have enough money to even have a decent stove in your home?
What we can the union can like do is become the liaison and between you and the service agencies that are supposed to be offering these services to you, and for one reason or the other, the bureaucracy, the services are not rendered. We could also, we could be that instrument that could perhaps be the liaison between the community, the poor people community, and the agency, so that we could begin to formalize an organization that would deal specifically was the problems confronting, you know, the senior citizens such as yourself.
You mean like the union that really wants to help the old people in the different problems that we have?
Yes, and what we'd like to do first, though, is to have, you know, to get an opinion of the people, see if they really want, you know.
Well, I can tell you that we certainly have a lot of opinions about the problems that are going on with us.
This is what we want to, like, have the house meeting for, or the meeting for, to find out what they're... Yes, you know.
I mean, do we want to rent a hall, or what?
No, well, okay. No, well, I'm talking about a small... a small meeting, or perhaps from
the
3 to 4.
Okay,
far out, right?
Go on.
Okay, fine. We're trying to get, you know, small meetings with people who might have an interest in knowing how we can go about formulating some kind of a group that will take on the issues that. That you are confronted with. We want to keep this on a personal one-to-one basis. This is why we feel that by going out, conducting several meetings, house meetings, and getting...
House meetings?
Yes, ma'am.
Like meetings in the house?
Yes.
Like here?
Yes.
My little house, you want to have a meeting here? Why, we couldn't fit more than 4 or 5 people in this house.
Perhaps you have a friend who has a bigger home, and perhaps we could have it there. Now, the help that I'm asking of you is to, like, help me, you know, like, organize, you know, a meeting with these few people who might have an interest. Now,
how do you organize a meeting? I mean, I don't understand a meeting. I've never done that before.
Okay.
Okay, that's been going on.
Yeah. Why don't you just have some people, some of your friends over?
Okay. See, you're just not being specific enough.
Why don't you just ask a few of your friends over so I can talk to them?
Okay, can you invite some friends over so we can, like, discuss?
I know a lot of friends who would really like to talk about all their problems. That would be fun. We could get together and talk about our problems. We can do that.
Okay, could we say tomorrow evening?
Well, of course, we don't have that much to do. Of course I can bring some friends over here.
7 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Sure.
Fine, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Alright. What'd you think?
My first feeling is that you just weren't being specific enough about what you could do and what you wanted from me. You know, it just wasn't really clear. That's my feeling.
So,
a lot of generalities, but nothing, just this and this and this.
I think that if you just tell her a story. Somewhat the same kind of story that I told this morning, that the union, you know what the union is, United Farm Workers here, you've heard of that, is thinking about trying to help the poor people, especially the older poor people, with their problems. They thought maybe that Caesar and the other leadership thought maybe they would like to have an organization to work on their problems and sort of poor people's union. I want to tell you about that, but this goes back a lot of years, and then start the story, you see. Goes back a lot of years to way back to 1952 and 53 when Caesar Chavez first became active in another organization which eventually became statewide called the CSO. And that organization got set up for the purpose of working among the poor people. And they started to try and do some things. They went down to call on the politicians, and the politicians laughed at them because they didn't have any power. They found out right away that just having a lot of people together wasn't enough. They had to have voters. that the person that they, the politician that they went to see, said, well, I'd sure like to help you. Oh, they threatened the politician. They said, look, if you don't help us get better services out there at the hospital, if you don't help us get surplus commodities, I don't know what they have, since they still have surplus commodities?
No.
Okay, forget about the surplus commodities. In the old days, they did. But if you don't help us with our problems, we're going to vote against you when you run next year's election. And he said, well, I sure would like to get your votes, but I couldn't, you know, even if I did help you, you wouldn't be able to vote for me because you don't vote. You're not even registered to vote. The people out there in that part of town don't vote. So what if I help you and then the people over on this side of town that do vote say, oh, you're spending all your time over there with those non-voters and so we're not going to vote for you. So I have to vote for the people that are going to take care of me. So then that's when they, Caesar and Dolores and the rest of them in there realized that they had to build the power of the vote, and they had to go out and register hundreds of thousands of people all over California, and then they started getting some legislation passed to help the old people. That's the first thing they did, was to get a bill passed to help the non-citizens get their citizenship. I mean, to help the non-citizen old people get their pensions in California. Oh, okay. Have you got somebody back there to take your place?
Yes, here.
And then they got another bill passed to help the farm workers. They got disability insurance passed in California to help the farm workers. They never had that before. Later on, they got another bill passed to help the families with dependent children. And then Caesar tried to get them all to get into the whole struggle with the farm workers, and the leaders of the CSO refused. So Caesar then quit the CSO, and he came out and organized among the farm workers. And you know how things have been going out here, the big strikes we've had, the big boycotts, and how we won all the contracts, and how the Teamsters and the growers got together and took them all away, and now we're going to get them back again. And now we're ready to start helping again where Caesar left off a long time ago in the CSO. See, all it is a continuation of a process that started a long time ago, you know. And he started helping the older people and the other poor people, and the farm workers took up all the time, and now that he's able to get a little bit of extra time in there, he's back trying to help right where he left off with the old people again. And so that's what I want. That's why I need your help, to let the people know that the union is ready to help if they want this help. And the only way we're going to find out if they want this help is for you, for instance, and a lot of people just like you, to call a few people, three or four people. See, we don't need a big house. She says we could only get three or four. That's all we need, is just room enough for three or four people. She doesn't have to get somebody else's house. She's got the room right here for three or four people. Then I can come and talk to them and tell them the same things I'm telling you, so that they in turn can let me know what their problems are and whether they like this idea of having their organization. See, in other words, it's just a story that you tell them. Don't try to, you know, to get to bring in a lot of small details. Just tell the story the way it is, and most of them will be interested in hearing that story. Because it's something that really happened, and it shows what can be done when people get together and they get registered to vote and they use their voting power in this kind of a country. Well, they can start putting the pressure on to get the laws and the things done in the community.
Tomorrow night?
Fine.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Who wants to be next?
I do.
You do?
Right on.
Okay. I have a volunteer. Okay, who wants to be next? Nancy?
Sure.
And Julie?
And me?
You can be the little girl in the family. The little granddaughter.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
I called you last night about coming over to see you because I wanted to talk to you about this new program. You remember I mentioned to you on the phone? Remember last week we were talking a little bit about your Social Security check and, yeah. and the problems you've been having down there
mm-hmm.
and some of the problems that other people that you know have been having with Social Security. And this new program that I wanted to talk to you about is a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. It's a program that can help to deal with some of those problems that you've had. And it's something that, well, it's not a new idea. It's something that started a long time ago. You know that, well, you know that I work for the farm workers and you know about the farm workers movement. And a lot of times it's very hard for people to understand how the farm workers are relevant to what their problems are. You know, like you said to me once, you know, that you're not a farm worker and I work for the farm workers union. What difference does, you know, what do I have that in common with you? But one of the things that we've learned from the farm workers union is how to deal with problems like Social Security and how to deal with some of the problems that people have. Because every day in the service center we have people coming in with different kinds of problems like that. They come in and they say, you know, like, well, like yourself, you know, my Social Security check hasn't come on time. And so we go with them down to Social Security and we yell and scream and we eventually get the check. Uh-huh. And that's what the Farm Workers Union is all about. It's a real success story because farm workers have had, well, they've been excluded from every law on the book since time began. And what they discovered is that one person alone, you know, can't do anything. If they make any noise about their problems or they complain, they get fired from their job, nothing happens. But what they discovered is that if they get together and they form a union, that there's a whole lot of them, that then they can change things. And there was an organization that existed before the union that Caesar worked with. And it was an organization that didn't deal just with farm workers. It dealt with all kinds of people, all races, and using that principle of strength in numbers to solve things. And so what they would do is when there was an individual problem, let's say, for example, old people used to be excluded from receiving pensions because they weren't citizens. And so what they did was they started a campaign, and they had little organizations in each town, and they started this campaign, and they got all of the different organizations to register voters, to take up petitions, and they sent all these to Sacramento, and they lobbied in Sacramento, and eventually they got the bill changed. And it was, you know, it's a really beautiful success story because that's something that you couldn't do by yourself, and that I couldn't do by myself, but if we get together and we form an organization, then the organization can do that. And so right now, you know how well the boycott's been going here in town. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've cleaned out about 20 stores already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening all over the country. And the farm workers are going to win their contracts back, and they're going to have a strong union. And now we have time to deal with some of the other problems that older people like yourself have. We don't have to concentrate on the farm workers anymore. And so we're coming up with this new program, and we want to talk to as many people as possible to get their ideas and see what they think about forming an organization to deal with problems like Social Security, to deal with immigration problems, and some of those things. And so what I wanted to talk to you about was to see if you could invite some of your friends over and we could get together and talk about some of these things.
Well, I don't know very many people around here.
Well, I know that you know Jose down the street.
Yeah.
And Matilda, remember?
Yeah.
And she came into the service center the other day with an immigration problem. And we helped her with that, and I'm sure she'd love to come. But just two or three people like that you know that have had problems, because we can really help them individually, and if we all get together, we can we can change a lot of the laws and things that create those problems. And so I'm just talking about, you know, three or four people. Maybe if you could invite them over and we could get together and talk about this and really plan it.